Everybody doing all right? Okay, good. We are really glad that you are here today. Such a great morning to be together. So we're really glad you're here. Honestly, whether you're here in person or whether you're online with us, we're really glad to have you connecting with us. We are in week number two of a series called Unmasked. Now, for the better part of this year, as I said last week, we've all been wearing these kind of face masks, right? And everybody truthfully has an opinion about them. Trust me, I would know because y'all send me your emails every week. So I know how everybody's feeling about this whole deal. Everyone's got their own take. And like it or not, they have just become, right? These face masks, they've kind of come just a part of our regular everyday life. I think it's the credit card company, American Express, that says what? Don't leave home without it. Well, these days it seems like this is the only thing that I can't leave home without because inevitably I get somewhere where I need it and I don't have it and I got to go back and get it. So don't leave home without it. But here's the deal, okay? As much as we're talking about these masks, everybody knows the deal. As long as we're in this series, I want to make very clear that I'm actually not talking about these kind of masks. By calling this series Unmasked for the next few weeks, Midcurrent is not officially making our statement about masking preferences. Instead, because we are like so relevant here at Midcurrent and so hip and so cool and so in touch with culture, right? Instead, what we're doing here is we're using this title as a catchy way to get your attention and then to talk about something different. You see what we did there? You got to stick with me. This is high-level stuff, okay? So what I actually want to be talking about in this series, Unmasked, is all the other kind of masks that I think that we wear, okay? And they're not cloth, or they're not, gaiters, or they're not hospital grade, right? But they're other kind of masks that we wear. They're spiritual masks, or emotional masks, or kind of relational masks, or social masks, right? It's really any of the appearances that we put on, or the kind of the facades that we put up as a way to cover up parts of ourselves that we're really not comfortable having other people knowing about us for one reason or another, right? So we kind of hide those pieces of us underneath masks. And last week, I began this series by taking a look at what we call the creation story, right? God created the whole world as we know it, and then he created man and woman, and he gave them authority over all that he had created, and he just asked that they would not eat fruit from this one tree. And if you're not exactly sure how all of that went over, here's a spoiler alert. They ate the fruit from the one tree, and at that moment, everything changed. Okay? Everything changed. It says that they were actually at that moment ashamed because all of a sudden they realized for the first time that they were naked and they were afraid. And so they actually covered up and they took cover in the garden. It actually says in the book of Genesis that one day God then came into the garden and he asked a question. God said, "Where are you?" And here was Adam's response. He answered, "I heard you in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." And friends, I think the truth is that all of us, all of mankind, all of humanity has been hiding ever since. We've been hiding ever since. When we feel afraid, or when we feel ashamed, or when we feel exposed, or when we feel somehow less than maybe because of something that we have done, or because of maybe something that has been done to us, we cover up. Okay, we put on an appearance. We put on a facade. We put on a mask to fool everyone around us. Or maybe we're even trying to fool ourselves that there is nothing in need of attention anywhere inside of us. Okay, but what I'm trying to tell you in this series is I think that we need to start to pay attention for the sake of our relationship, the fullness of our relationship with God and with others around us, right? Our friends or our spouses or our kids. I think we need to start to pay attention to the things that are happening inside of us that we often feel the need to cover up. And last week, I told you too that I think God designed two involuntary responses inside of all of us that were designed to alert us. Hey, Something isn't going on inside of you the way it's supposed to be. God designed two instinctive responses to say there is something happening inside of you that you need to pay attention to. And those two automatic responses are guilt and hurt. Okay? We all have those two automatic responses. We don't have to work to produce these two feelings inside of us, right? They just happen. Okay? One way or another, I would argue that we are all grappling with, or we are all kind of internalizing feelings of guilt and of hurt, right? When we have done something wrong, that's what we might call sin, we feel guilt. Okay? And when something has been done to us, as in someone has, sinned against us, maybe we feel hurt. And most of the time, I would suggest that we do not know what to do with these kinds of feelings, okay? Happens to us all. God designed these two kind of instincts to trigger inside of us. And when we feel them, we have no idea what to do with either one of them. And so we end up in the moment as a way to kind of protect ourselves in some way, we just cover them up. When we feel guilt or when we feel hurt, we just cover it up. We just hide behind something that says to everyone around us, don't look here. Don't look here. Nothing to see here. And we pretend like it's all good, right? And as long as guilt and as long as hurt go, unacknowledged or unresolved or unaddressed, then I think that they silently start to squeeze and to choke the life out of us from the inside out. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about what I think is the cure to both. I think there's a cure, right? Last week, I said that these masks that we wear, the spiritual ones and the emotional ones, they're just external proof of an internal infection, okay? Because here's the deal. Any unresolved issue, what we might call sin, any unresolved sin, whether it was sin we committed or some kind of sin committed against us, I really think it can grow into an infection inside of us when it goes unaddressed. And it will eat away at us from within, whether we are aware of it or not. But what I want to suggest today is that there is a cure. Right? And today, I want to attempt to show you what that is. Before I do, let me just say this. Today's message is just going to be laid out a little differently than normal, right? Usually, I like to just kind of present, one big idea to everybody. Today, I want to look at just take one Sunday after, right? I just want to look at both guilt and hurt. And I just want to take a week here to lay out some additional thoughts kind of about each one. And I don't want you to freak out and worry about kind of downloading this whole message here all at once. Instead, my hope is I just follow up on these two feelings inside of us. My hope is that you might today, as I present just a few different things, my hope is that you might just listen with your antenna up. Okay, for one thing or for maybe the one piece that you might need to hear today or the one piece that you might need to give your attention to in the coming days or in the coming weeks or in the coming months. Because I really do believe that if we can start to bring into the light some of the things that we have kept hidden in the darkness or hidden under the masks that we wear, I really do believe that slowly we will start to experience more of the fullness of the life that God has planned for us. And that is really what I want for each of us here today. So let me begin then by just beginning to follow up on this idea of guilt. I want to talk about guilt specifically. I think the cure to the guilt that we feel inside as a result of some kind of wrong that we may have done. There is wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs that I want to just look at very quickly here. And I think it gives us a hint as to what this cure might be, as to what it is that helps us to deal with this feeling inside of us. Listen to Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says this, "People who conceal or hide or cover up their sins will not prosper." Okay, this is in some ways what I have been trying to hint at, trying to get us understand that hiding hurts us at the end of the day, okay? That this approach to the things that we have done, it might feel like the best move in the moment, right? But it will only make matters worse and worse and worse and worse the longer it goes on, right? People who conceal, people who hide their sins will not prosper. But I think here's the answer. Listen, if they confess and turn from them, remember that, they will receive mercy. There's a phrase there that I think alludes to guilt's cure. What I'm suggesting as guilt's cure for the sin that has been committed. And it's the phrase, turn from. Turn from. Turn from. The one word often used to describe the act of turning from sin is the word repent, right? That the turning from sin is the act of repentance. And what I want to suggest to you today is that its presence in any community, okay, where this kind of act is kind of a regular part of a community, it's actually a huge gift, okay? It's just that oftentimes we don't really think of it that way. We don't think of this idea that we talk about in the church of repentance. We don't really think of it as a gift, right? If you're new to church or you're just kicking the tires on you know, the whole church or God thing, right? This idea of repentance, just the word itself, it's one of the scary, uptight, strict, religious sounding words that makes you go, yeah, that's what makes, you know, church stuff really weird, okay? If church is, you know, faith is not new for you, I mean, in fact, it's actually something quite important to you, oftentimes repentance is then one of those things that you know you should do, but it's a little bit like cough medicine, right? You know you need to take it to cure your cough, but you hate the taste of it going down, right? It sounds like, ugh, you know, do we have to? Okay, fine, let's just, you know, let's just get this thing over with. Okay, but what I want you to see today is it's not something that we gotta be afraid of like this, that it's actually, I think, a good thing for anyone who wants to take the brave, bold step of trusting God and trusting others with who you really are, okay? Because here's the thing about this kind of big, heavy concept of repenting, right? It's not about doing something about our sin, right? A lot of times we think, okay, I've got to do something. It's all on me. I've got to make it right. I've got to make it right. It's not about doing something about our sin. The decision to repent or to turn from sin is about admitting in a lot of ways that we can't do anything about our sin, that God is the only one capable of dealing with it in a way that actually matters. And so this concept of repentance, it's actually an invitation down a path of freedom for you and for me. Let me see if I can draw this out for you a little bit more. One of my favorite descriptions of the word repent describes its origin in the old kind of wandering nomadic tribes of people long ago whose leaders, when they got lost or when they took a wrong turn as they were out wandering, that their leaders, when they realized, hey, we're lost, we're not where we should be, I think we took a wrong turn, their leaders would turn and yell to the whole tribe of people, repent. Okay? Because it actually just meant, turn around. Okay? We goofed up. We took a wrong turn. We are not where we are supposed to be. We are lost. So we need to go back to where we came from and start again. So when I say that repentance is about admitting that we can't really do anything on our own about our sin, I kind of envision this scenario, right? It's about us admitting, hey, I'm not really sure that I'm where I need to be right now, and I can't keep moving in this same direction that I was heading. I can't keep doing the same thing that I was doing, I can't keep going in the same direction that I was heading and actually get to where I need to be. Right? I think that's what we're doing in relation to God, admitting what has happened and acknowledging that there is really nothing on our own that we can do to make it right. There is no effort, there is no achievement, there is no hard work, there is no kind of spiritual resume, there's not enough spiritual brownie points in the world that can remove that feeling of guilt. It is only possible when we turn back to God and to let Him deal with it for us in a way that He already has done. And so here's why I see this as a gift. Okay, I said that. I think it's a gift to any community. Here's why I see this as a gift. Part of my hope for this series is that people would experience a community here at Midcurrent where they don't have to hide or pretend to be someone or to be something that they are not. Okay? Because that doesn't do anyone any good. And so in the midst of a community, whether it's a church or whether it's an office or a workplace or a family or a small group of friends, okay, the regular, the kind of normal, the kind of natural, encouraged, and acceptable practice of this scary idea called repentance, it should be a very welcome sign to everyone. Okay? Because it is an indication to everyone who's watching, everyone who's a part of the community, that wrong turns and mistakes and missteps are acceptable here. That's not to say that they're encouraged, right? But in a way, it's to say they're assumed. We're just going to assume that that's going to happen, and it's acceptable when we take the right measures to correct them, right? When this is a regular practice or a marker in any community, is an indicator to everyone that, hey, this is a mask-free zone. There is no pretending here. The pretending isn't necessary, right? If you're not where you're supposed to be, don't pretend like you are. Just turn and go back. And when that kind of environment is in place, I think everyone is free to move closer to God and to move closer to one another. Because here's the deal. You can't do this. You can't repent and pretend at the same time. Okay? You can't turn back all while pretending like you're in the right spot that you needed to be all along. The two don't mix, right? You can't make the decision to turn and go back all while saying, yeah, everything's good. I'm right where I need to be. Okay? And so if we're not pretending, we're comfortable just say, I got to go back. If we're not pretending, then we're not hiding. And if we're not hiding behind a mask or any other appearance or any other kind of facade, we're trusting. We're trusting God and we're trusting others with who we really are. Blemishes and imperfections and missteps and mistakes and all. We're trusting God and we're trusting others with who it is that we really are. And that's a very powerful, powerful place to be. And so that's why I think this pathway that's been made available to us, that's laid out to us, is a real gift to us and a real gift to any community. That regular practice and the encouragement of taking advantage of it, I think will start to chisel away at the guilt that so many people feel the need to cover up. We turn back and we take it to the only one who can do anything about it. Let me flip the script now and come at this from the other side of it, right? Because there's guilt that we feel inside of us and we don't know exactly what to do with, so we cover it up. But there's also hurt, right? Other times what is kind of unresolved or unaddressed in us, right? The infection that's kind of growing inside of us that we try to pretend isn't there. It's the result of some kind of wrong that has been done to us, right? It's a sin that's been committed against us. And God designed, as I said, hurt, the feeling of hurt to alert us of its presence, of its existence in us, okay? But God, I think, created a certain process. He laid out a certain path to help us overcome or to override or to combat this feeling as well. And it's so simple. It's so, you know, common. It's so trite. And it's probably so cliche sounding that we'll just do one big group eye roll together when I tell you what exactly it is. You ready for this? Okay. It's forgiveness. Okay. On the count of three, we'll all roll our eyes together. One, two, three. Right? Forgiveness, okay? As hard as it might be to understand, to think of it this way, forgiveness too is a gift to us, okay? With one purpose, to protect us from the insidious harm, okay? That comes from the things that have been done to us. It's so vital that we build this kind of regular practice into our life, that Jesus created kind of a built-in reminder for us that it is important that we do all the time. He built the reminder into the prayer that he urged his followers and that he taught his followers to be praying, and that he meant for you and me to pray as well. Look at it. We find it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Part of Jesus' prayer that he taught and that he encouraged and that he urged his followers and you and me to pray is this. Here's what it says. And forgive us our sins. Okay, that's inherent in the process of this idea of repentance, right? Turning from sin and turning to God, who's the only one that can do anything about our sin, right? So forgive us our sins as what? As we have forgiven those who have sinned against us, right? In some ways here, it's kind of a one-two punch. It's kind of a one-two combination. God, I do this thing called repentance to chip away at the guilt, but then I forgive to start to chip away at the hurt that I have let go unchecked and unacknowledged and unresolved for far too long. And forgiveness, it oftentimes sounds really basic, but I think there's layers to it, right? Some sounds so easy, sounds so simple at times, but I think it's more complex, and I think we miss some pieces that will ultimately help us to really benefit from the process or understand it a little bit more. And so what I want to try to do with the last few minutes here is just share a few significant keys or some steps to this idea of forgiveness that I think are really important to the whole process and that I think sometimes we overlook. It's not a list that's exhaustive, but I think there's a few things that might help us to understand this idea of forgiveness a little bit more, to help work it out in our lives a little bit more. So here's the first thing that I think is really helpful for us to do when forgiveness is something before us. The first thing is this: admit something has happened. Okay, God's provision for our healing, if this is something that we're trying to pay attention to, God's provision for our healing always begins by recognizing that someone has actually hurt us. And so we have to admit that something happened. And I know that that might sound a little bit like I'm being kind of Captain Obvious here, but I think sometimes we skip this step in just taking the time to admit, hey, something has happened. Okay, perhaps we're unaware of something that was, that happened, that was done to us. Maybe it was in childhood, we're unaware of it. Maybe we're afraid of the impact it would have on a relationship if we actually just admit something happened. Or maybe we're too proud, right? We feel like, oh, it would just be too fragile, too weak, too vulnerable to admit that there was actually something inside of me that hurt. Right? You're going, man, this shouldn't bother me. I'm bigger than that. I'm tougher than that. So I'll just go on my merry way. And while we may not, for whatever reason, acknowledge the hurt, I think one way or another, we feel its effect in our lives. And it's that feeling that causes us to kind of mask up and to protect ourselves. I don't know why I feel like this, but I think I better just cover it up. And so I think forgiveness is an invitation to stop covering, to stop hiding from that thing that has been done to you. And we can't forgive until we really admit that something has been done to us. Here's the second key, I think, to forgiveness that oftentimes goes overlooked. Here's what we've got to learn to be able to do as well. We got to learn to forgive the wake. Forgive the wake. What in the world does that mean? What is the wake, Stan? Here's the thing. The good news about any of our sin is that it can be forgiven. It has been forgiven, right? But when we forgive, or more importantly, when God forgives us, it's really only the penalty of that sin that's removed, rarely the consequences, okay? Because the reality is that sin, even forgiven sin, it always leaves a wake. And sometimes it's the wake, right? It's all the consequences, all the ways that life has been impacted because of this one thing. Oftentimes that stuff is worse than the thing or the action that was done itself, right? We got to deal with the fallout. We got to deal with the aftermath. And so when we're forgiving someone for the wrong that has been done to us, I think we got to work hard to forgive the wake as well, confident really that we can trust the wake, that we can trust the aftermath, that we can trust the consequences to God, right? That we got to believe and be confident that he is a God of justice and that he will deal with the wake in a way that we don't have to, right? Most often we can bring ourselves to forgive the thing that was done, But the wake still messes with us every day and sometimes for years to come. And oftentimes, that's the part that we can't shake loose. And so I think the power of forgiveness is then cut off, even when we're trying to unleash it in our life. And so we gotta learn to forgive even the wake. Here's the third thing that I just wanna make sure I remind you of when it comes to forgiveness. I think it's a really important part of this whole process would be to do this. Distinguish the difference between forgiving and trusting. I think this can be really hard. Anytime we're kind of brought to the edge of the idea of forgiving something that has been done to us, right? One of the most unhelpful, I think, at times notions of forgiveness is the whole idea of forgive and forget, right? Sometimes someone who has been hurt, they're encouraged to, hey, just kind of move on, to get over it, to just get past this offense. And I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt, maybe that the intentions are good there, but I'm not sure that this is always the most helpful approach because it can be hard to forgive someone if the understanding is that everything should go right back to the way it was before anything was broken, okay? The most, easy example to kind of draw this out, to kind of demonstrate what I'm talking about this. The easiest example to use is a marriage, right? If one spouse kind of breaks or violates the commitment of a marriage, they can be, and I would even argue that they should, with help, be forgiven. But here's the thing. The restoration of trust necessary to honor the recommitment, it takes time, right? Forgiving and trusting are not always the same. And I think it's okay as we begin this process of forgiveness to distinguish the difference. You can do the former while taking your time with the latter. There is surely a whole lot more to be said about this idea of forgiveness that I'm sure I missed, but what I want to be clear today as I just talk about some of the ins and the outs, I want to be clear about its power to heal the hurt that may be unresolved inside of us, right? The hurt that we might feel like we have to somehow cover up or hide in some way possible. And I think a failure to forgive those who have caused that hurt, I think it very well could be. I think it could be holding you back from the life that God longs for you to embrace, that God really desires for you to experience. My guess is that most of you know Leonardo da Vinci. Right, he's one of the most outstanding artists and intellects in history. I'm sure you know who he is. But what you may not know is that just before he started painting the now famous Last Supper, okay, it's the picture of him and his disciples, right? Just before Leonardo da Vinci started painting this photo, the Last Supper, he had what is described as a violent quarrel with a fellow painter in his life, okay? And with apparent rage and bitterness inside of him, Leonardo da Vinci, he determined to paint the face of his new enemy, this other artist. He had determined to paint the face of his new enemy as Judas in the photo, right? The one disciple who betrayed Jesus and kind of sent him to his arrest. So in doing so, painting the face of his enemy as the face of Judas, Da Vinci would be kind of taking out his revenge on this man, on this enemy of his, by sending him down in infamy, by associating his face with the face of Judas. Okay? And reports about the beginning of this painting, The Last Supper, reports show that Judas was one of the first faces that Da Vinci painted, and that everyone recognized the face of this painter who Da Vinci had been quarreling with, right? So mission accomplished, right? Everybody saw the face of the guy that Da Vinci was arguing with. And then the time came to paint the face of Jesus in the photo. And he could make no progress. Okay, something was holding him back, frustrating his greatest efforts, his best efforts to keep this project moving. And eventually he came to the conclusion, right? This is super, I think, insightful and mature of him, but eventually he came to the conclusion that the thing frustrating him and the thing bothering him and the thing holding him back is that he painted his enemy as Judas. And so he decided in that moment to paint out the face of Judas and to start fresh on the face of Jesus where he could make no progress. And so he did. And this time he did with the success that the ages have acclaimed. Midcurrent, here's what I want to say to us today about this. I do not think that we can simultaneously paint the features of Jesus into our lives and paint the face of another in our lives with the colors of rage and bitterness and resentment and hatred. And yet that's what many of us attempt to do every day in response to the hurt that we feel. And so I would just say, I think today one of the best ways that we can overcome this hurt that is instinctively triggered inside of us is forgiveness. And I would say that one of the best ways that we can overcome this guilt that is triggered inside of us because of the things that we have done to hurt other people is to go down this path of repentance. They are both gifts to us, gifts to a community like ours, perhaps just gifts that we have not handled in the most effective way in the past. And so the question that I want to leave you with today is this: which one is most pressing? Okay, which one is most fitting or maybe most necessary for you right now? Which one might help you to paint the likeness of Jesus into your own life the best so that you can begin to experience the fullness of life that Jesus has already made possible for you? Let me pray. God, thanks for today and thanks for a chance to come here to set our hearts and our minds on you. And God, we give you thanks for the life that you have made possible for us, God. I mean, it's unthinkable that you would give your own son, your own perfect son. You would give his life so that we could have life, so that we could experience grace that is only made possible through faith in you and the grace that we receive because of it, God. And so we're so grateful that the gifts that grace make available to us, God, right? It's this grace that we have because of Jesus that makes this idea of turning back possible. It's grace, God, that makes this concept of forgiveness possible and powerful in our lives. And God, I know 1,000% that both of these can be hard to think on. These aren't the most fun topics to be talking about, repentance and forgiveness and how we do all of that. God, I just believe that there is more life, more relationship, more fulfillment, more fullness that you want for us. And I think that it might be guilt and hurt that sometimes holds us back, God. And so I just pray that you would help each of us here today to know where it is that we might need to look. God, if there's something that we need to bring out of darkness and into the light, if there's some place where we need to stop covering or hiding up the guilt or the hurt that we feel, God, I pray that you would remind us of your incredible love and your incredible grace for us as we begin the process of taking off the masks that we hide behind. And God, I pray that as we do that, you really would help us to experience more of your love, more of your grace, more of your fullness, God, and more of the life that you have planned for us. And so God, we commit ourselves to you and we ask that you would help us as we take a hard look at ourselves this week. And we pray that everything that we would do, God, would be honoring to you in the lives that you have laid out for us. So thanks for this morning, God, and the chance to be together. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hey, we are glad to have you here today. We are excited to be right back here next Sunday, 10:30. We will continue the child dedication celebration and all that fun. We'll be right back here for week number 3 in our series called Unmasked. We'll see you then. Have a great week.